beginning in verse 15 through the end of the chapter. We're in the section where Paul was talking about Christian growth and sanctification, how to grow in our life and the new righteousness that we receive through faith. He has already shown us in the beginning of the book that nobody is righteous, no one in the world. And how do we become right in a world that has gone completely wrong and chaotic? It's not by anything we can do. We've already learned it's not by keeping the law. It's not by any amount of human effort that we can do, any kind of church attendance or anything. But it's by what Jesus done for us. We get into the second section. He talked about how that righteousness is received by justification through faith alone. And through faith in Christ and what he's done for us, we are justified and declared righteous before God without any effort of our own. Now we're in chapter 6 through 8, the section dealing with how that righteousness is developed and lived within us through the process of sanctification and growing to become more like Jesus. Picking up verse 15. Paul writing then says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but are under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are the slave to the one you obey, to whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. But just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at that time for the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And here to read in God's word, this blessing abides upon you, shall we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you your word is the authority of our life. Inspired and breathed into very existence by you. We thank you that you have preserved your word, and it is true, and it is the basis of our life and all that we do. As believers, we base our life, our thoughts, our belief, our actions, everything on the truth of your word as we live by your standards and seek to. So, Father, we pray that through your word this morning you would speak to us. You would encourage our hearts and equip us and challenge us in our daily walk, that we can run our race, that we can live our life for you effectively today. The Lord, when we cross that finish line someday, we'll hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we live our lives for you and for your glory and for your pleasure and not for ourselves. And so, Father, through your word this morning, speak to us, equip us, challenge us, and encourage us. Through Jesus Christ and for your glory, and through his name we pray. Amen. Many of you have known Kim and Meyer's adopted grandson and granddaughter, Eli and Lucy, who we love a lot and we haven't seen for a while. It seems like it's been ages since we've seen them. But I've been teaching him Bible lessons this year over at his school. His school is Pricken Academy, where he goes in his home school. His mother's his teacher. And I go over once a month and I teach him Bible lessons. And usually after we have our Bible lesson, we have recess time. And at recess time, he always wants me to race him. And to get in these races against me and Eli, and I'll get down and he'll get ready and say, "Ready, set, go." He takes off. And of course, he's a lot younger than me. And he always thinks he has to win every single race. Of course he does. He's 7. He has to win. And if I think I'm winning, sometimes I got a little bit ahead of him and try to win, but then I'll let back so he can win. He always has to win, you know. But we're running the race to win. And if you're in a race, that's Why enter a race if you're not going to seek to win? God has called us as believers and put us into the race, the marathon of the Christian life. And as believers, we're in a race that God expects us and wants us to win. To cross that finish line effectively at the end, and even running the race now in a way that honors Him and brings glory to Him. To run in a way to win the race. But the big question that we all face is, how do we win the race? And how do we gain consistent victory over sin that so often can trip us up? The writer of Hebrews says to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, and to lay aside all those things, entanglements, that can trip us up along the way. And often as you're on a path of running a race, there can be little obstacles in the way or hurdles that you've got to jump over. And sometimes those hurdles can trip us up and cause us to fall. And sometimes those hurdles or sin have been placed there. And sometimes the enemy will place them there. And those obstacles in our way to trip us up and to lead us to defeat. So how do we win the race? How do we overcome? That's the big question. And the point of Romans 6 is to show that justification by faith alone through Christ, as a result of our faith, does not lead or end up into a life of continuing or continual sin. Paul began this chapter by saying, because we are in grace, and grace increases with our sin, can we sin more so that we receive more grace? Remember, Paul's answer to that was absolutely not. No. And Paul was confronting those who were saying that he was teaching that if we cast aside the law, that it's by grace that we're saved. That they were trying to say, well, Paul, you're saying it's free to live as we want. We can live in sin. And that's not what he was saying. That's not what the scripture teaches us at all. That if we are saved by faith, we're not to continue living in sin so that we get more grace from God. Our life is to be changed within as we work for Christ and walk with Him. Our life should then be characterized by sanctification or growing in holiness, become more like Christ. And that's what He's been teaching us in chapter 6. So as we arrive at this point in the chapter, Paul is going to share with us three practical ways that we can win the race, that we can have consistent victory over sin. And those things that trip us up in our life that Satan often puts in the pathway there that trip us and cause us to fall. How do we have that victory? How do we win the race? First principle we discover is to serve the right master. Paul says there's two masters we can serve. And he tells us we have to serve somebody. And someone has to be in charge of our life. Now oftentimes we want to be there. We want to be our own master. But someone has to be in charge. And Paul only gives two options. But it's a choice. It's a choice that we must make of who we are going to serve. And either, Paul says, the options are either we will be a slave to sin and a servant of sin and unrighteousness and serve sin in our life, or we will be a servant to righteousness and pleasing God. And the choice is, who are we going to let master us? Who are we going to, or what are we going to let master us and control our life? Either we are a slave to righteousness in God and free from sin, or we are a slave to sin and free from righteousness. But those are the only two options we have. Paul says there is no middle ground, and there are only two masters, and we must choose. Joshua made in his final words, in his final farewell address to the nation of Israel before he passed away, he said, this day choose who you will serve. You have to make a choice, one or the other. And Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either we will say, love one and hate the other, but we can't serve two. In other words, he's saying there's no room for in a Christian life to sit in the middle. We're either all for him or we're nothing. And we can't just play the fence, and we can't sit in the middle ground and put part of our life and faith in serving God and then part of it holding on to things of the world too. It's a choice that we need to make. Jesus is our Savior, but he also needs to be our Lord and our Master and the one who completely calls the shots in our lives. So it's a choice of surrender to him. And so Paul said there's two choices you can make. And one is, you can turn down the road marked slavery to sin. Notice what he says here. He says, I put this in human terms because you're weak in natural self, but just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to sin and impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, now offer them to righteousness and holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness, but what benefit did you reap at that time? He said, don't you know in verse 16 that when you offer yourself to obey him, you are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And he said, that's the choice that we have to make. And we can turn down the road marked slavery to sin. And we can choose, okay, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to call the shots. I'm going to be in charge of my life. I'm going to be Lord of my life. I'm going to sit on the throne. I'm going to do it my way. And we can go down that way, and God will let us choose that path if we want, but it's a road that turns us down. And why do I say turn down? Because it leads, where does it go? It leads to more and more sin. And it results in a life that dishonors God, disobeys him, and displeases him. That's really not where we want to be, and that's really not where God, the direction of our life that God wants us to go. He doesn't want us to choose to go down a way that dishonors, disobeys, and him. He wants us to go the other way. Or we can choose to turn up the road, mark slavery to righteousness, which leads to becoming more and more like Jesus. That results and a life that is holy, obedient, honorable, and pleasing to Christ. So we either turn down, if we're slave to sin, we're turning down, we're going farther down and away, or we can turn our life up more to Jesus by becoming a slave to righteousness and obedience to his word. The choice is ours. And this morning, friends, if you are not moving in the direction of if you're not moving in the direction of becoming more and more and more like Jesus, then we need to take a look within our heart and see about the choices and the qualities we make, who we're allowing to reign there, and what choices we are making. And do some spiritual searching within our heart. But neither road is smooth, and neither road is a paved highway. Whatever choice we make, whether it's to serve ourselves and sin, or whether it's to serve Christ and obey and righteousness and his truth, neither one is a road that's easy. But the destination where we're going determines what road we want to take. And when tempted, ask yourself, who do I want to serve? And which road do I really want to take? What's the outcome of where I want to be? It's a choice of who we're going to serve. Ourself, sin, righteousness, a slave, or we have a slave to sin, or a slave to Christ, his glory and righteousness. It's a choice, but it is also a process. That as we walk down that road, and as we run that race, we make the choice which road, which path we're going to take, or who we're going to serve. And once we choose to serve Christ, we go down that road. But it is a process to get from here, that point where we make the choice, to over here, where we want to be, or become more like Jesus. And it's a process along that way. And which means continual daily surrender, continual long, making progress along that way. Don't you wish the ones we chose to make this choice down this pathway of following Christ, that that was the only choice, that was the end of it? But it's a continual process of growth that leads us, that will never be ended until the day we can. continual surrender, of dying daily, of yielding our life to Him, of letting His Word transform us from within, of constantly surrendering our life to Him. It's a process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. There's going to be many obstacles along the way that we face, but it's a continual knowing that we're on that path to become more like Jesus. Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He said, I forget what is behind me, and I continue to press on to walk. So I ask you this morning, are you more like Jesus today than you were last Sunday when you were here? All that you've gone through this week, has the Lord used it to help you in your process of Christian growth? Are you more like Jesus now than you were a month ago? How are you along down that road in the process of becoming more like Christ and surrendering and serving Him? Victory comes, the race is won, when we serve the right master. Paul says we have to serve somebody, and we're either a slave to sin or we're a slave to righteousness. But we gotta be a slave to someone. We're a slave to sin, we're free from righteousness. Righteousness has no thing within our life. But the result is that death. But if we're slaves of righteousness, we're free from sin. And Christ is glorified and honored within us. To serve the right master, the second principle we discover is to remember where you came from. Paul says, if you want to have victory over sin, remember where you came from. In other words, where God brought you from. And what He's done in your life. And the progress that has been made. And that's a key in remembering where you are now from where you were when you first made that commitment to Christ. When you first chose to walk that way. And as you look back in your life and see the steps that God has brought you along the way, you can praise Him and say, man, I'm not where I want to be. And I'm not where I'm going to be, but praise God, I'm not where I was. Right? Because He continues to do that work within us. Remembering where you come from. Look what He says in verse 20 and 21. He says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness, but what benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Verse 22, but now, that denotes a change. That denotes something different. But now that you have been free, set free from sin, you become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Remembering where you came from. Years ago in the 70s, in the 80s, there was a movie that came out with this guy. E.T. You may remember E.T. It was a big craze back in the 80s. I was in college when that movie came out. And the whole gist of the movie was this alien had landed. And we were talking about aliens in Sunday school this morning, by the way. And this alien had landed and in this boy's backyard. And he found him, and he took him into his house, and he called him E.T., and he lived with him. And the whole point of the movie was E.T. never forgot where he came from. And he always wanted to get back home. And the spaceship had left him, and left him, went away and left him there on Earth. And they left him here, and he wanted to get back. And so he was trying to come up with a way how he can call his people on his planet to come and get him again and take him back home. And he never forgot where he came from. He wanted to go home because he knew that this world was not his home. And it's the same in your life and mine, remembering where we came from, that this world isn't our home. We're going to a far better place. And living for that place. And know that that's really where our final home is. And remembering that. And remembering where we came from in our life. Of where God has brought us from. And where He has taken Y'all know how much Kim and I love to go to Tennessee, and one of our favorite places to be. And every time we go to Tennessee, almost always, this last time we were there, we didn't get to go there, but we got to go to Dolly Parton. And I didn't know too much about Dolly Parton until I started going to Dollywood Park and really fell in love with that place. But one thing about Dolly, her faith has always been strong. But one thing about her you discover is that she never, ever, with all of her faith, ever forgot where she came from. And her heart is still there in the Smoky Mountains. And she does a lot for the people of the Smoky Mountains and the Dolly Parton Foundation. A lot of money goes back to help the people there. She never, ever forgot where she came from and kept her grounded. No matter all the fame she had, all the success she had, she always remembered that. And remembering where we came from, the change that he made in our life. Paul said, remember, before you were slaves to Christ, you were free from the control of righteousness, meaning that righteousness didn't matter to us. We thought we could do whatever we want, and there's a lot of people in the world living that way today. They don't want to be told what's right or wrong. They want to be free to do whatever I want, and don't you dare tell me that's right, what's right or wrong. How many people live that way in our country today? Don't you dare tell me anything. I'm free to do whatever I want. And they're free from righteousness, so they think. But Paul said the end result of that is the way of death. And that's where many are headed. He said that now that we're slaves of righteousness, he said, what benefit do we have? And now that we're slaves of righteousness, we realize the change. And when we look back and see where we've come from, we have those times when we're walking in the midst of our Christian life and we don't feel like we're making progress. And sometimes we feel like we're maybe one step forward and we take two steps back, but we get up and we keep going and we keep our eyes on the goal and we keep walking. But then, you know, as we look back and realize that, you know, I started over there, but now I'm over here. And yeah, Jesus did do some changes in my life. May I still get angry? I still get upset at that driver in front of me. I still let words slip out of my mouth that I shouldn't say. I still lose my temper when I shouldn't. But you know, I used to be over there, and now I'm here. God is doing some work in my life. He is transforming me. He is making me more like himself. And we find an encouragement that way, because if we see where we've come from, we know where we're headed and where we want to go, but it continues to keep us motivated to press forward, right? And so Paul says, don't forget where we come from. Remember the changes that he's made. And praise God for the changes he's made in our life, of where he took us from, and what he's doing in us. He said, the change that we've made of the shame and of the old life, he said, when you were slaves to sin, free from control of righteousness, what benefit did you reap at that time of the things you're now ashamed of? And as we look back in our life and we see the times when we made wrong choices, or we see the times when we served sin instead of Christ, and what happened, and the pain and the shame in our life because of it, and we realize, what did we reap from that? It just disappointed us. But we realize when we choose to serve Christ, he will never disappoint. And that's where true fulfillment comes. Change he has made, but also look back to the blessings he brings. The blessings of a life of his presence with us. He said, but now you have been set free from sin, and the benefit that you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. Paul says, just look at the blessings that we have, that his presence is with us, what he's doing in our life, and the blessings of walking with him. So serve the right master. Remember where you've come from and what God's doing in your life. And third, to have victory win this race, is to focus on the final outcome. Keep your eye on the prize and what's ahead of us. Verse 23, Paul says there's really only two final outcomes to this race. There's only two things at the end, when we get to the end of it, of either serving righteousness or serving sin, of the end result. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul focusing on the final outcome that is ahead of us, Paul says, I keep my eye focused on the prize and I run the race faithfully. The final outcome is the final payment. The final payment that sin brings is death, rejection, separation from God. Those that choose to walk that way and serve sin. Notice how the wording that Paul uses here, that the wages of sin brings death, or the payment, it's a wage for serving sin, is going to result in a payment or a wage that we earn or receive. And it's not a word of payment that we want to receive, or those that fall and choose to go that way. Or we have a glorious gift. And the glorious gift is the gift of God, which he gives us freely, which is eternal salvation that can never be taken away from us. The free gift of eternal life and salvation that we're in the hand of Christ, and nothing can pluck us out of. No one can ever take that life from us. And you know that eternal life with Christ, we often think of eternal life with Christ in heaven, but that eternal life with Christ started the moment we were saved. And we began, actually when we began living for eternity always. And that eternal salvation that we have, and that eternal life waiting for us, of all that is promised for us in glory, it's a free gift. So you have the payment. For those who choose to serve sin are going to end up with the payment, the wages of that. Or we have the free gift when we serve righteousness, and that's salvation and life that God gives us. Getting back to the choice at the very beginning. So keeping our eyes focused on the goal helps us. A football player and a football team, when they're carrying that weight and they're carrying the ball and they're getting into the fourth quarter and it's getting tiring and they're getting cramped up and they're getting hard, they're focusing on getting the ball across the finish line, over the goal line, or the defender focusing on keeping them from getting there. But they're focused on that goal that gives them the endurance. A marathon runner, when they get halfway through and hit the wall, they're focused on reaching the end of the race, crossing that line that gives them the outcome, that gives them the ability to continue on. So with us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 25, you know that in race, many runners enter a race, but only one of them gets the prize. Eli and I would race, but Eli would always win. Only one wins in a race. But he said, so run to win. Athletes work hard to win a crown that cannot last. But we do it for a crown that will last forever. The crown of life. And in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, it says, let us run then with endurance the race that is marked out or set for us before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our race. The source, the beginning, and also the end. And keeping our eyes focused on the goal, running with endurance that race faithfully. Paul, as the scripture has given us the way, so he said, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. We can continue to run that race. God has called us to live, have a victory over that sin, not to be tripped up by it. And we do that and serve the right master, remember where he's brought us from, and focus on the final outcome of where we're going. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us and its practical teaching for our life. And Lord, all of us are in that race as believers. And Lord, that race in a marathon sometimes can get hard and tiring and grueling. But Lord, you want us to continue to run and continue to make progress, to continue to become more like you. And Lord, as we choose which road we're going to travel, it's a life of daily surrender on that road. And many obstacles that we will face each and every day. But Lord, when we look back to where you brought us from, that as we trusted you and surrendered to you, we've seen the changes that you've made within us, the transforming power of your spirit work, Lord, making us more and more like you. our eyes focused on the outcome, the prize, the joy that is set before us, of the destination that awaits us, and the promises that you have yet to fulfill. Lord, that helps us to run that race well, that at the end, we will hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You finished the race." And as Paul said, "I have kept the faith, I have finished the race. It is laid up before me a crown of righteousness, not just for me, but for all those who long for your appearing." Lord, we know that you have those crowns in store for us, not for ourselves, but to give back to you for your glory. And Lord, that's the whole purpose, that we run our race, we live our life for your glory, your honor, to please you. No one but you, not ourselves, just you. And so, Father, give us that strength of your Spirit to be faithful, to run well, and to run to win. And Lord, we thank you for the instruction and truth of your word. Help us not only to hear it, but to apply it and to live it in our life this week. And we ask that